could be making a big money summer transfer into your bank account. £5,000 cash. The Clyde One Super Scoreboard 5 grand fan with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard's 5 grand fan. Conor Goldson says Rangers can't dwell on last season's Europa League heartbreak as they target the group stages. Liverpool are reportedly ready to block a Celtic move for youngster Harry Wilson, and Steve Clarke signs an improved deal as manager of Kilmarnock. I'm Andrew McLean and I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio by Daryl Broadfoot.
Good to be here. 10 years. In fact, I said to you off air, what were you doing 10 years ago? And I think you were doing your standard grades in third year. And 10 years ago, it was also Hugh Keevans' 70-odd birthday. So it's been a while, but good to be back. All change.
It has been a while. And of course, as always, the chance to grab yourself £5,000 in time for the new season kicking off every week from 6 until 7. We're giving you the chance to come on air and answer as many sporting general knowledge questions as you can inside 30 seconds. The aim of the game is to get yourself on that leaderboard with finals week just over 2 weeks away. To do that, you must get a score of at least 6 at the moment to get on the leaderboard. We have 3 fans setting the pace at the top with a score of 7. That's David McGill from East Kilbride, Stuart Buchanan from Stirling, and Terry McCutcheon from Barrhead. Can you match them or can you beat them? If you think you can, head to Clyde1.com where you can find all the information and instructions you need to register, or if social media is your thing, head to Clyde SSB on Twitter, go to our pinned tweet and you can enter there. 30 seconds for 5 grand, Darrow. Why wouldn't you want to get involved?
Well, I've played every day this week and let's just say 6 is too high a bar for me, so I've put myself under no pressure whatsoever, but to anybody out there who fancies it, game on.
Let's hope 6 is not too high a bar for those of you out there. But before we get to that, let's turn our attentions to the football. Lots coming out of Rangers today, but we'll start with their Europa League aspirations with the first qualifying round exactly a week away. Defender Conor Goldson, he was up for media duties today ahead of their friendly against Bury tomorrow night. He says they must forget about last season's defeat to Progress Niederkorn if they want to be successful in the Europa League this season. Of course, Pedro Caixinha's side, they fell at the first hurdle of qualifying in the last campaign, but Goldson says although the new players are aware of it, they must focus on the job at hand against FK Skopje.
Yeah, no, obviously we're all excited. It's been a tough few weeks in training, obviously pre-season for a few weeks, but the coaching staff have got the points across of what they expect, and I thought that come across well in the behind closed doors game the other day, and yeah, we're all itching to play tomorrow night. Yeah, it's been tough. Obviously the 10 days in Spain were hard. Double sessions every day, and manager's been working a lot on the boys' fitness. Obviously the way he wants to play requires us to be fit, so it's been a tough start, but now the games are here, I'm sure running wise it'll slow down and into the games, and that's where we need to get the points across. We looked good in the game the other day. Obviously we know TNS, obviously we're expected to beat, no disrespect to those, but I thought the way that we played, the tempo that we played, that was good, and we'll have to do it again tomorrow night, and I'm sure if we play what we're capable of doing, then we'll be ready for the Thursday. All the new players have heard what happened last year. That's been spoke about, but at the end of the day, that's the past, and we can only look forward, and we've got an exciting draw. We've got an exciting first game at home at the Ibrox in front of our own fans, so we'll just have to be ready and positive, and there's no point in looking back on last season. We're at a new season, new players, new manager, and we look forward to that game. If there wasn't, there'd be no point in playing in the qualifiers. We've got to believe whoever we come up against. First game start next Thursday against obviously a tough side, but we'll be ready, we'll be prepared, and I'm sure that they won't look forward to coming to our stadium, so we've got to be ready for that game. But first and foremost, we've got to concentrate on tomorrow and putting everything into effect tomorrow night, and then that'll lead on to Thursday. Whoever plays will understand their roles in the team, and I think that's important for the whole team to know what they're doing every single time and every situation on the pitch, and I think that's what the coaching staff have done. We've worked on everything from attacking to defending, pressing. We've worked on literally everything in these 16 days. So, as I said, we've got a game tomorrow night, and hopefully it'll show the work that we've put in the last 2.5 weeks.
Daryl, a fresh start for a fresh squad, Conor Goldson says.
Well, it's a new dawn after a succession of false dawns, it has to be said. This time last year, Pedro Caixinha was telling everybody what Rangers were going to achieve. They had some big name signings. Bruno Alves obviously hasn't worked. But there was a lot of talk about what they were going to do, and actually not an awful lot of action in the end. I think Steven Gerrard has been more measured since he's taken over. I think a reality check has set in. The squad, yet again, has been turned over massively. But the time for talking is about to end. It's now what Rangers can do. And Conor Goldson understands that another season like last is unacceptable. What Rangers have to do is demonstrate that on the pitch. And for Steven Gerrard, it's a blessing and a curse. It's an eminently winnable tie. But how often have Rangers said that in European competition in recent years? So a chance to get his team together, but more importantly, a chance to demonstrate that actions speak louder than words. Demonstrating it on the pitch, actually putting a squad together that might not be world beaters. Rangers don't have the finance for that, but a work ethic that gets a basic minimum level of performance. And I think starting tomorrow, Steven Gerrard will start to crank up the pressure on those players.
The games against Progress Niederkorn last season was really the beginning of the end for Pedro Caixinha. Rangers know they need to do better this year. Conor Goldson saying that they are targeting the group stages. How realistic do you feel that is?
The main things that Rangers can provide, not only a greater challenge to Celtic, but in reality a greater challenge to Aberdeen. Finished third last season. That's not acceptable for Rangers fans. And as much as the Rangers board get criticised, and rightly so, the accusation can't be that Rangers board haven't invested in the squad, haven't given a succession of managers the means to be better than they have been. The value for money has been diabolical. And now, with a new group of players, there will be that level of expectation again. The season tickets have flown off the shelf. It's time for delivery.
So many new players as well. There's really not been a lot of preparation time. They have been away in Spain. But in terms of preparing for games, they've obviously had that closed-door friendly against TNS on Tuesday. They're playing Bury at home tomorrow night. Two friendlies, is that enough to prepare them for competitive action?
It's all shadow boxing, no. But Steven Gerrard, from day one, has said what we've all said for the best part of a year, if not more. Last year, Rangers' title challenge, for what it was, faltered. A, because Celtic have a better standard of player right throughout the pitch. But given the financial investment, they should have finished second. I think there was a chronic lack of fitness. I think the Rangers squad almost staggered over the line last season. It was turned over in the January window with an influx of loan signings who didn't work either. Now is the chance for Steven Gerrard to make sure that the only way Rangers can mount a sustained challenge, and I don't think they can aspire to win the league this year, but I think Rangers fans expect a more sustained challenge. To finish 12 points behind an unacceptable. There is a clamour now for some kind of silverware, be it League Cup or be it in the Scottish Cup. Steven Gerrard has to eke out a minimum level of performance, and the first thing is making Rangers fit enough to compete over 90 minutes, and that seems to have been his mantra over pre-season.
He's certainly brought in a lot of players already in this transfer window. One of the players, Alan McGregor, which means that they've now got three senior goalkeepers, Alan McGregor, Jack Anik, and Wes Fodringham. If you're reading the papers today, they're saying Wes Fodringham could be on his way out of the club. If he is to be Rangers' third choice keeper, there's certainly going to be a lot of competition for places.
Yeah, Alan McGregor hasn't come back at 36 to sit on the bench, and the moment he signed, the writing was on the wall from Wes Fodringham, regardless of the comments and social media. I think they will look to move him on. He never really won the admiration or the love of the fans. He was a very good shot stopper. I can think of two high profile mistakes that he made. Air United in the Cup, the 6-1 game, which was a bit of an embarrassment. Lee Griffiths' goal in one of the Celtic matches. But he's never truly won the acclaim of the fans. Alan McGregor comes back, he gives you a dependability. Rangers' biggest problem last season was conceding goals. They conceded, I think, 50 goals. Celtic conceded half the number of goals in winning the league. So he's identified defence as my problem. He's got an experienced goalkeeper who will still at 36 be vying with Craig Gordon for number one status. He has two centre-backs in Conor Goldson and Nikola Katic, whom he believes will be a better bet at shoring up a defence that Alves couldn't, Cardoso couldn't. I think David Bates came in and out of the team and did a good enough job. Ross McCrory's not a centre-back. I think he's better in the here and now as a holding midfielder. So two centre-backs and possibly a third on the way, and an international-class goalkeeper gives him a platform to build a greater degree of success.
Seven signings they've made. There's another two loan signings that look as if they're in the pipeline. How much work is needed on this Rangers team from now?
I think he's gotten as many players in as he can feasibly do. I think if they get the loan players in, that will be about it. What happens to Morelos? Steven Gerrard's already made his pitch. I want him to stay. I love him as a player. It's now up to Morelos, and we can go back over the 8 million or reputed 8 million bid that was rejected. If Fenerbahce came in for Morelos on a fraction of that, then rightly, the Rangers board will be held to account, because why lose a player who the manager values for a fraction of the price you could have gotten last year? That was part of the theatre, the circus that enveloped Rangers. Steven Gerrard wears the look of a serious man. He understands his reputation's on the line. Rangers have strengthened, no doubt. I think they are still lacking a ball-winning midfielder to take on Scott Brown. Scott Arfield's a different type of player. Graham Dorans came in, got injured last season, different type of player. If they can bring in Umar Sadiq, 6'4", runs and runs and runs. That's what Rangers have lacked for a long time. A physical presence who's prepared to run the channels. Defensively, yes, he's made some astute signings, but as much as on paper, things look to have improved, Conor Goldson made 3 starts in the Premier League last season. So it's not as if he's a seasoned first-team regular in the Premier League. 3 starts. So there's a bit of a proving ground for him. Katic has 1 Croatian cap. How quickly can they meld together? Well, they should be capable of seeing off Scoopy from Macedonia, but away from home, I've been to Skopje before in the summer, 40 degree heat, not even accounting for the later time kickoff. You will still have serious humidity, so there'll be other factors. He won't want the same start that Pedro Caixinha had last season. That was the first portent of a calamitous rain. A solid, if unspectacular, victory allows him to look ahead to the Betfred and allows him to look ahead to, more importantly, starting the season in a positive footing.
And you touched on it there when you were talking about Umar Sadiq. He's a big physical presence. You look at the players he's brought in: Conor Goldson, 6'3", Nikola Katic, 6'4". Really working on fitness, from what Conor Goldson has been saying and other things that have been coming out of the Rangers camp. It's definitely something that Steven Gerrard thinks is vital in this Rangers team.
Well, it's vital. It's also a reality check. Can't compete with Celtic financially. Celtic have a far better, far stronger squad. There's discussion on whether Kieran Tierney will go to England for 25 million or Moussa Dembele will go to anywhere for multiple tens of millions. That's where Celtic are at the moment. I think Steven Gerrard has been pragmatic. I need athletes, I need to work hard, and as much as it's maybe not quite the Motherwell template, but you look at the success comparatively Motherwell had last season with that physicality, a commitment to hard work and a shape that works for them. It might be Rangers' best bet and certainly the closest they'll get to mounting a challenge, because on paper, head to head, Celtic still have a far stronger squad.
The Clyde One Super Scoreboard £5,000 fan with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly. Make a big summer signing now and sign up at ClydeOne.com.
Well, it's time to get our first contestant on the line for £5,000 fan, and it is Christopher from Greenfield. Christopher.
Hi there, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Christopher, how are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thanks.
How confident are you feeling going into £5,000 fan?
I'm feeling okay. I think it's a bit easier just answering it when you're listening to the radio, but obviously being on...
It wasn't for me last night.
Have you been feeling the pressure now that you're on air?
A wee bit, aye. I've been trying to brush up my sporting general knowledge, so here's hoping I can do myself proud.
And in terms of, as a Celtic fan, there's been a lot of movement or talk in the transfer market. John McGinn, Harry Wilson, are these players that you'd like to see at the club?
John McGinn, definitely. Obviously, he's been good for Hibs over the last couple of years. Harry Wilson, I'm not too sure. I've not seen much of him. I think he did well last season on loan at Hull. But I know there's a few other clubs in for him. Just if they can improve the squad and get us a better chance at maybe winning the league and the rest of the competitions and getting out of Champions League, then I'm all for it.
Here's your first question. You say he improves the squad. Would you take John McGinn and put him straight in at the starting lineup? And if so, who would you replace him with?
No, I wouldn't put him in straight away, because I think in Sham and Brown have just been, especially towards the end of last season, they've been great. So I think it would be quite hard to displace them. I could see probably John McGinn as a longer-term successor to Scott Brown, maybe in a few years, but no, I wouldn't put him in straight away.
Well, we'll get to that in the second part of the show. We'll talk about Celtic's transfer business, but I'll read you through the rules. 30 seconds on the clock as usual. Answer as many questions as you can correctly. If you don't know, you can pass or at least give it a guess. You never know, you might get it right. And the aim of the game is to stay on the leaderboard until finals week. How does that sound for you?
Yeah, that sounds great. Yep.
Well, we may as well get straight into it. The Miracle of Bern was the final match of a World Cup between West Germany and Hungary during which decade?
The 50s.
Which country was seeded number one when the draw for the group stages of the World Cup was made?
Brazil.
Which Scottish Premiership manager has signed a new deal at their club today?
Steve Clark.
Which English team plays at the Macron Stadium?
Stoke City.
Which goalkeeper is reported to be on his way out of Rangers?
Wes Fotheringham.
Where did Dundee finish in the Scottish Premiership last season?
10th.
Well, you got a guess in there right at the death, but we will get round to whether you got that right or not. Well, we'll go through them. How do you feel you got on, first of all?
I think there's one there that I just get confused by, because I think the team that I've answered, they're sponsored by them, so I'm not too sure if I got that one right.
Ah, it's the quick nature of the competition that sometimes catches you out. Right, we'll have a read through them. The Miracle of Bern was the final match of a World Cup between West Germany and Hungary during which decade? You said the 50s. Great knowledge. 50s it is. Straight on the leaderboard, West Germany won that game 3-2. Which country was seeded number one when the draw for the group stages of the World Cup was made? You went for Brazil. It's wrong. Daryl, what do you think?
Oh, was it Germany?
It was Germany. So there you go. It was one out of two there. Which Scottish Premiership manager has signed a new deal at their club today? That is, of course, Steve Clarke. You got that one right. We'll get to that a bit later as well. Which English team plays at the Macron Stadium? This is the one you were talking about, Christopher,
yep.
Wasn't it?
Aye. Bolton. I said Stoke.
It is Bolton. Oh, aye. Just didn't manage to get it in the clock. Which goalkeeper is reportedly on his way out of Rangers? We touched on that earlier. It is, of course, Wes Fotheringham. And you got an answer in right at the death. Where did Dundee finish in the Scottish Premiership last season? You picked 10th. It was wrong. Daryl?
9th.
9th.
Right.
Correct.
They pipped. Was it Aki's finished 10th ultimately?
They did. So Daryl got that one right. Unfortunately, you got
now.
That one wrong. Daryl wishes he was in the top six with a chance to win that $5,000. Unfortunately, Christopher, you are not on the leaderboard. That is a 3 for you.
All right, okay.
No worries, Christopher. Well, a good effort from Christopher, but if you think you can do better, head to Clyde1.com and you'll find all the information and instructions you need to register. Or if Twitter is your thing, find us there at ClydeSSB. You can go to our pinned tweet and find all the information there. We'll get another two contestants on the line a bit later for $5,000 fan to see whether they can make it onto the leaderboard. And we'll be looking at Celtic's transfer targets. That's all coming up after the travel with Amber.
The Clyde One Super Scoreboard $5,000 fan with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and have a bookie in your back pocket. Please gamble responsibly.
Daryl Broadfoot here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard's $5,000 fan. We'll have another contestant on the line soon, but first of all, let's turn our attentions to Celtic. Yesterday we brought you the news, of course, that the club were interested in signing Liverpool forward Harry Wilson on loan, a player we believe interests Rangers as well. But in the papers today, reports that Liverpool would be put off sending him on loan to Brendan Rodgers' side because of the Charlie Musonda situation last season. If that's something you want to talk about, 0141 951 1025 is the number, or you can tweet us at ClydeSSB. Daryl, Charlie Musonda was brought in as the big sort of January coup, but it didn't quite work out for him.
Unless Steven Gerrard's just told Liverpool to say that and throw them off the scent. Celtic have made great success with the loan moves, and at the start of last season, everybody was excited about Patrick Roberts coming back. Everybody was excited about Charlie Musonda, the goals that he scored that were available on YouTube. And I tell you this, it's a testament to the faith that Brendan Rodgers has had, because James Forrest was keeping him out of the team and Callum McGregor found himself a regular starter. So as much as it was a disappointment that they didn't actually make it, it was more to the credit of the Scottish players keeping them out of the team. I can understand if they have a mandate, and I saw in the same piece that Liverpool will have a contractual demand that he plays every week. Scottish football has not plumbed to the kind of depth where that's acceptable to me. So it's maybe no bad thing then, because if you then start stipulating that no matter how this player plays, he has to start every week, otherwise we'll fine you effectively for not playing him. I'd rather Scottish football did without that, to be perfectly honest.
Can you see why they may be put off? We know that obviously it was the good performances of the Celtic players, but can you see why that is a concern?
Depends how much faith they have in the players' ability. Because for every example of Patrick Roberts, you look at what Virgil van Dijk, and granted not all of them were loan deals, but you look at what Virgil van Dijk did when he came to Celtic. You look at the impact Victor Wanyama had at Celtic, and he's now a star in the Premier League. Scottish football is not only a proving ground for young players from the Premier League, it's also difficult. I think a lot of people, Joey Barton probably the most obvious example, Bruno Alves, Musonda and Roberts, these players came up with huge pedigree and arguably haven't cracked it in Scottish football. Now, as much as people are critical of Scottish football, above all, you have to give 100%. So if Harry Wilson genuinely aspires to be a top player, then Liverpool and the player should see that as a challenge, embrace the challenge and become better for it. I'm still uneasy, but I understand it's the economic reality that Scottish football is a bit of a playground for young talent. But bluntly, if Celtic fans, Rangers fans and any other club who benefits can see that those players come up with commitment, passion and make their teams better, fine, I can accept that. But before we kick a ball, and I'm not sure if it will happen, I know Rangers had been linked with them as well, the fact that Liverpool stipulate he has to play week in, week out, if that report's to be believed, I think Scottish football's better off without it.
It could be quite interesting as well to see, because, you know, Celtic and Rangers both potentially interested in him. It's been a while since both clubs have been at the level where they've been competing for the same player. Does that show for you possibly how far Rangers have come, or the pool that Steven Gerrard has?
The latter. Frankly, they're not swimming in the same pool. And I remember years ago that the likes of Darius Adamczyk had Rangers or Celtic, and Nacho Novo had Rangers, and they could both bluntly pay the same wage bracket. It's not the same now. So if Harry Wilson wants to make himself a Liverpool player in the future, does he go to Celtic and fight to get a way in? Does he go to Rangers where he's got a greater prospect of football, but by the sounds of it, Liverpool want him to go to a championship club? What it does show is that Brendan Rodgers, I think, is already looking at potential life after Moussa Dembele. He said it today, Moussa Dembele might not be around for the Champions League group stages, but if he gets us there, then he'll leave with our blessing. That's paraphrasing, but if that was the upshot of it. The question for me is, what happens to Lee Griffiths, Scotland's best striker, arguably Scotland's only prolific striker, who's now, I fear, number three striker? His minutes over the last 3 years have diminished from, I think, 4,000 2 years ago, where he scored 31 goals, to around a quarter of that last season. He's been dogged with calf problems. This is a big season for Lee Griffiths. He has to find a way of getting into the team, and if not, then what does the future hold from not just at club level but internationally? Massive season for Scotland's best striker.
Lee Griffiths did say when we were speaking to him over in Austria that it didn't bother him that there was three top quality strikers at Celtic, but you know, you've got to take
that. Bother
him
if he doesn't play. And he's been patient, and strikers have come in, Timo Pukki, etc., and he's seen them all off. A fit Lee Griffiths is a real asset. And there's been times when Brendan Rodgers has put a fit Lee Griffiths in ahead of Moussa Dembele, ahead of Odson Edward. What Brendan Rodgers needs to see is a fit Lee Griffiths again, confident, firing on all cylinders. That's one of the biggest challenges that Brendan Rodgers faces this season. What happens if Moussa Dembele goes?
And then you look at Odson Edward as well, a massive fee that Celtic have paid for him. Can Celtic leave him sitting on the bench when they've invested so much money into him?
Yeah. Because Brendan Rodgers won't be dictated to by price tag or wage. He's already done that. Otherwise, to go back to my earlier point, Paddy Roberts would have played every week instead of James Forrest. You wouldn't have had Callum McGregor in there. So Brendan Rodgers will pick the team he thinks is the strongest team. The challenge for Odson Edward is, if Moussa Dembele were to leave, do I become the number one? He hasn't signed on at Celtic with £9 million of a transfer fee to sit on the bench every week. So I know Brendan went 3-5-2. In the last friendly match, there's scope to do that domestically. He prefers the system that works with one striker and three around, the kind of 4-2-3-1. But when you make that investment in a striker, you have to accommodate your best players. And the question is, where does Lee Griffiths fit into that? And that's the challenge for him.
And I know this is something we've gone over a lot of times, but it's something I'm interested in hearing your opinion on, Darryl. John McGinn to Celtic.
Oh, there's been a bit. ABTs there.
There's been a
still getting used to life after the SFA.
John McGinn to Celtic. They've made a bid. Bid's been rejected. Do you feel that it would be the right fit for Celtic?
The right fit for Celtic, yes, because they have a gap in their team. Well, you say that, they've sold a decent profit, Stuart Armstrong. Different type of player, different type of asset. The challenge is Celtic the best bet for John McGinn? Now, we understand that Grandpa Jack's been part of the Celtic fabric for decades and former director at the club. An emotional attachment, but there's no guarantee. If he were 19, 20, he'd say, yes, go out on loan, do what Ryan Christie's done. He's 23, and I heard, I don't know if it was Gordon mentioned it on Monday, he's a good prospect. He's 23. We're watching a World Cup where Kylian Mbappe is tearing it up at the age of 19. And I think we mollycoddle players in Scotland, generally across the board. We still call 24-year-olds prospects. In most other nations, successful nations, they're now established first-team players and international players. Will John McGinn be an asset to Brendan Rodgers' squad? Yes. Does John McGinn at 23 need or want to be a squad player at that age? No. So when you look at the midfield options, Scott Brown, Olivier Ncham, Tom Rogic when he comes back from international duty, Callum McGregor, Ryan Christie, James Forrest, Sinclair, Lewis Morganin, Johnny Hayes back, Scott Allen still around, might be a makeweight. That's an awful lot of rungs to climb up the ladder. Now, does he have confidence in his ability? Absolutely. But the worst thing for John McGinn at 23 is going to Celtic and not starting week in, week out, because then you go from a potential long-serving international player to somebody whose career falters. And that's a big dilemma for John McGinn. And it's also something that Celtic will weigh up when it gets to £2-4 million worth of investment.
You mentioned all of Celtic's midfielders there, or the bulk of them anyway. Does that look to you a squad that is prepared for depth for a long season, or does that look to you like a squad that needs players out the door?
It needs pruning. I don't think Peter Lawwell will put Brendan Rodgers under any pressure to remove four or five of them, but professional pride and career development comes in. Johnny Hayes is back fit, but if he's not going to get a look in, is he better going out on loan where he can play? Because a serious injury and then a years of inactivity is not going to fly. Scott Allen, I think, has had enough chances to be a success at Celtic, and is back there, I think, as a makeweight. I could be wrong, so I think he's a fantastic player, but I don't think he's at Celtic level when you consider who the competition is. Massive season for Ryan Christie, big success at Aberdeen, back in the Scotland rank. But if you're Brendan Rodgers, do you play him ahead of Tom Rogic when he's back fit? Do you play him ahead of Callum McGregor? There's an awful lot of people to fit in there, and that's without mentioning people like Scott Sinclair, who Brendan's already made a point of saying he's back to the old player that I remember from previously at Chelsea. So you add John McGinn to that, suddenly you've almost got an embarrassment of riches that you don't need domestically, but equally to bridge that chasm at Champions League level between qualifying for the group stages and getting out of the group stages, I don't think there are many in there who will help you get to that next level.
The Clyde One Super Scoreboard £5,000 Fan with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly. Make a big summer signing now and sign up at ClydeOne.com.
Time to get our second contestant of the night on the line, and it is John from Dunoon.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm alright, thanks John. £5,000 on the line. Are you feeling prepared?
I've looked up a wee bit, so we'll see how we go.
Come on, £5,000 at stake, wee bit more confidence.
Well, I've not done so great in beat the pundit before, so I'll see how it goes for this.
Well, £5,000 Fan is a different beast, so hopefully this is more your game. We were listening, you're a Rangers fan, we were listening to Connor Goldson earlier on talking about aspirations for the Europa League. Are you looking forward to the competitive action starting again next week?
I certainly am. I think Steven Gerrard will make the team a lot more solid than they have been in previous seasons. And I think the back line's looking pretty good as it stands, so that's where we were lacking last season. As long as the forward line continues what it was doing, we should be going in the right direction.
And then we look at tomorrow night, friendly against Bury. There's, we believe, 35,000 tickets have been sold for that. We look to next week, the first qualifier, Ibrox, Steven Gerrard's first competitive game in charge of Rangers. 45,000-46,000 has already been sold for that. Do you feel like that's the Steven Gerrard effect coming into play?
I certainly do, and I think as well as like some of the players going out and having the nerves, I think Gerrard will have a wee bit of the jitters as well going out for that buzz that he'll be getting back for the old Anfield days, the adrenaline of walking out with a new experience again, so I think he'll be looking forward to it as well.
You know what, Rangers fans have worshipped so many false prophets while continually paying money to the club, and actually I think those fans deserve a change of luck, deserve a manager to actually deliver the kind of success that their investment actually merits.
Well, can we change John's luck? Can we give him $5,000? I'll give you the rules as usual. 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you possibly can. If you don't know the answer, you can pass or at least give it a guess. The aim of the game is to stay on the leaderboard until finals week. 6 gets you on there, 7 puts you joint top, and 8 you'd be the outright leader. How does that sound, John?
Sounds good, right? Let's go.
Well, if you're ready, let's get into it. Ryan Fulton is a goalkeeper with which Scottish Premiership club?
Motherwell.
The Citizens is the nickname of which Scottish League Two side?
White.
Which decade of the 1800s was the English FA formed?
90s.
The Toffees is the nickname of which English club?
Pass.
Scotland under 21 Billy Gilmore has signed a professional contract with who? Who was the highest placed Brit at the US Open Golf?
McIlroy.
And that is your time up. How do you think you got on?
Not so great, I don't think, but gave it a go.
Well, pressure got to him, I think.
Let's have a look through Darrow and see if you can get some of these answers correct. Ryan Fulton is a goalkeeper for which Scottish Premiership club? You went for Motherwell. It's their Lanarkshire rivals. It's Hamilton. Geographically, you are close, but that scores you no points, unfortunately. The Citizens is the nickname of which Scottish League Two club? It's Edinburgh City.
Ah, see, I misheard you when you said the first bit of that.
Which decade of the 1800s was the English FA formed? You went for the 90s.
70s, isn't it?
You're one off. 60s.
60s?
60s it is. That long ago.
Gee.
That was when Hugh Keevans was born, of course. The Toffees is the nickname of which English club?
Oh, I should have got that.
Everton.
It is indeed Everton. Scotland under 21 Billy Gilmore has signed a professional contract with Chelsea. 17 years old, his first professional contract. We'll get into that a bit later on. Who was the highest placed Brit at the US Open Golf? Do you know this one, Darrow?
Oh, I was going to. Was it Ian Poulter?
It wasn't.
Wasn't Russell. Justin Rose.
Tommy Fleetwood. It was Tommy Fleetwood. Unfortunately, John, that is a zero.
That's a bad one.
Well, but the good news is you're in the running for the Wooden Spoon Prize.
It certainly is.
Well, John is, of course, in the running for the Wooden Spoon. But thank you very much for John for getting in touch. If you think you can do better, and let's hope you can do better, to be honest, Clyde1.com is where you can find all
the... Are you waiting until you hung up on him before you said that?
That's it. I was a bit scared of any comeback there. Well, if you can find all the information at Clyde1.com, the instructions are there if you need to register, or if Twitter is your thing, find us at ClydeSSB. Go to our pinned tweet and you'll find all the information there if you want to win yourself £5,000. After the break, we'll be talking about Steve Clark's improved deal at Kilmarnock and Aberdeen's interest in an English striker. That's after the travel with Amber.
The Clyde One Super Scoreboard £5,000 Fan with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Broadfoot here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard's £5,000 Fan. Coming up, we'll get our final contestant on the line, but let's have a look at some news from elsewhere in the Premiership. Steve Clark has today signed an improved deal at Kilmarnock, along with his assistant Alex Dyer. It's got to be great news for Kelly fans.
Magnificent news for Kilmarnock fans, but Steve Clark is now looking at what life will be like after Yusuf Malumbu. He was a terrific signing for him last season. He won't have the means to replace him. That's a one-off signing. And also, Chris Boyd, after that magnificent season last season, can he get another season like that out of him? Steve Clark is a big boon to Kilmarnock, but Steve Clark will also tell you the work that Alex Dyer does in the background. Gets none of the acclaim, gets none of the credit, doesn't seek it, but he has made a massive impact. And as a team, they've absolutely revitalised Kilmarnock. But can they now do it on a budget?
It's got to be encouraging that they are able to, you know, get someone of Steve Clark's stature to not only come to the club, but commit to them further.
Yeah, but equally, I think Steve Clark is from that area. I think there were other factors in him going back to Ayrshire. He's been made to feel loved. I think he'll get the keys to the town before much longer. But the reality check kicks in. Kilmarnock were 11th and hurtling towards a relegation battle when he took over from Lee McCulloch. He revitalised them, but he revitalised them with, again, the work ethic that we talked about that Rangers lacked. But Malumbu was a centrepiece to that. The matches they won against Rangers, the performances and occasional results they got against Celtic, Malumbu was the kingpin for those big matches. He's now going to be a victim of his own success. Kilmarnock fans who've now come out in their droves. I remember watching Kilmarnock get to Europe 4 years out of five, and you couldn't fill the place. There'll be an expectation now that the players and the club have to live up to, and I think it's an unrealistic expectation because Chris Boyd can only do so much for so much longer, and Malumbu is going to be a massive hole. I know they've signed Stuart Finlay on a permanent deal because he did so well last season, but I think expectation has to be tempered. Top six, absolutely, but I think Steve Clarke will say, as he did until they, I think, finished in the top six, it's all about survival.
He certainly seems like a man that has his, you know, his feet firmly on the ground. When they were pushing towards, you know, fifth, possibly fourth towards the end of last season, Europe was something he wasn't even willing to talk about, really.
He wasn't really willing to talk about much, was he? I mean, I don't think he... and I say that, I love him to bits. He doesn't crave the limelight. I think the media side of it and the profile is something that he's never actually embraced throughout his career. I think the phrase, the dour Scotsman, is typical of Steve Clarke. But there's a presence there. His CV is magnificent. Kilmarnock are lucky to have him. The players that he will oversee are lucky to be led by him. It's what they have left and how much better they can be without, as I go back to it, without Malumbu and Chris Boyd, who I think, given last season and the exertions, and I saw the footage from pre-season training, he's probably got a couple of pounds to shed again. But that's the challenge. Kilmarnock fans expect, and so long as it's relatively sensible, then Steve Clarke can be happy.
And then moving further north, Aberdeen reportedly having a bid rejected for Doncaster striker John Marquise, which isn't much in the face of it, but then you look at the fee that's being reported, £500,000. That seems like a massive fee for a club like Aberdeen.
Well, you look at Aberdeen last season, they finished second on the last day of the season. I think at certain spells they under-delivered, and ironically enough, and I think it shows how short-term football is, he was getting some criticism from Aberdeen fans for not converting that into trophy success. £500,000, they haven't thrown fees about like that since the days of Paul Bernard for £1 million and Mike Newell. So it shows that Stuart Millen is prepared to put his money where his mouth is. He also understands that Adam Rooney, I don't think he fancied. Stevie May was a marquee signing, I think £250,000-£300,000. Hasn't worked. Stevie May's been out for an awful long time and didn't look like the player he was prior to that injury. So Aberdeen will back the manager, and the manager's challenge now with this new Rangers squad that Steven Gerrard's put together, they want to maintain second place.
Do you think that would be more of a reflection on the backing that has been given to Aberdeen, or the general state of Scottish football that maybe, you know, it is turning a corner and teams out with Celtic and Rangers will start paying fees for players?
Yes, there's a TV negotiation going on, and this, I think, will be the last traditional TV deal. The market's completely homogenised now with the likes of Amazon and streaming partners, etc. Yes, and I saw Stuart Millen say that we need to get multiples of what we currently have in terms of a deal. The true litmus test is not having Aberdeen, Rangers, St Johnstone, Motherwell all going out in the first and second qualifying rounds of Europe. True success is not going from 11th to 23rd, the biggest drop in UEFA's coefficient in the last 10 years. I think Latvia were the only nation whose drop was more significant. So that's the true litmus test. But the ability to invest in better players, the ability for coaches to play young Scottish players, and we'll touch on one who's gone all the way to Chelsea, give them a chance to flourish, and yes, you have a product.
The Clyde One Super Scoreboard £5,000 Fan with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly. Make a big summer signing now and sign up at ClydeOne.com.
Time to get our third contestant of the night on the line, and it is Scott from Cumbernauld. Scott?
Hello, gents. How you getting
on? Hi, Scott. He sounds confident. You sound more confident than your predecessors.
How are you feeling, Scott?
I've been listening to it on the way home from work, and it's hit or miss, to be fair.
Hit or miss. What's your best score that you've come up with?
About 4 or 5.
4 or 5. Well, let's hope that you can peak those powers today and you can get yourself on that leaderboard. You're on Air
United. If you don't beat zero, you'll never hear this down. You'll never hear the end of it.
Exactly. Air United fan, there's obviously a good season for you last time out into the Championship now. What do you think Air's ambition should be?
Well, McCall's set it quite high to hopefully get a mid-table to playoff finish. I think that's a bit too much to expect. Just staying in the league will do me fine.
Staying in the league will do you fine. and onto the leaderboard, I'm sure will also do you fine as well. 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. If you don't know the answer, you can pass or at least give it a guess. You might get it right. And the aim of the game, stay on the leaderboard until finals week. Does that all sound all right with you?
Yep, let's go for it.
Dundee United's Scott Fraser has joined English League. Which English League one side?
Burton Albion.
Name one team to win the English Championship twice.
Middlesbrough.
Which English team did Sevilla beat 4-0 in the 2006 FA Cup, UEFA Cup?
Fulham.
Spurs, QPR and Jordan have all managed who?
Pass.
West Ham. And which other London-based club did Bobby Moore play for?
Fulham again.
You've gone for Fulham. Let's have a look through those. Dundee United's Scott Fraser has joined which English League One side? You went for Burton Albion, and that is correct. Name one team to win the English Championship twice. You went for?
Middlesbrough.
You went for Middlesbrough, and it's wrong.
Watford?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, playoff.
Newcastle, Reading, Sunderland and Wolves. Which English team did Sevilla beat 4-0 in the 2006 UEFA Cup final? You went for Fulham. It was Middlesbrough.
God.
Steve McLaren's Middlesbrough. Spurs, QPR and Jordan have all been managed by who? As of course the nation Jordan, not just...
I thought you were talking about Katie Price for a minute there.
Not
I
just some
Harry Jordan there. I was confused.
Joe Jordan. No, well, it was Harry Redknapp.
Yep.
That is Jordan one's a bit out of left field, to be fair to you. And then West Ham. And which other London based club did Bobby Moore play for? You went for Fulham, and you were correct that time with the answer of Fulham. So for me, I make that a 2. Scott.
Greater.
You did better than me.
Well,
well, thank you very much to Scott for getting involved. If you think you can do better, make sure to head to Clyde1.com. You can find all the relevant information and instructions there to apply, or go to @ClydeSSB, go to our pinned tweet and you'll find it all there. Finally, let's touch on Billy Gilmore. A 17-year-old Scottish under-21 international, did very well at the Toulon tournament, signed his first professional contract with Chelsea today. What are your thoughts on his future, Darryl?
He's the real deal. I remember seeing, in fact, I was at his graduation from Grange High School when he was part of the Scottish FA Performance School programme. And slight, sparrow legs, but what an ability. I remember he was so highly rated that Gordon Strachan made a point of inviting him to watch Scotland's A squad train at Hampden Park to make him feel special. I think there were maybe suggestions that he could have represented elsewhere, but he was identified early on as a real talent, and I've watched him progress. I've watched him become a bit of a fashion model in part time as well, on his Instagram with Burberry. For a 16-year-old to go to the Toulon tournament and flourish the way he's flourished shows everything you need. The fact that Chelsea have now taken him on professionally, he's got the potential to be one of our best midfielders for many a year. And I don't want to put too much pressure on a young player, but when Chelsea sign you up, when you can play at 16 in the Toulon tournament against some of the best countries in the world and flourish, you have a real talent. The challenge now is to keep that progression going. His international counterpart, Ruben Samet, who's also signed up with Chelsea, has gone on loan to Falkirk. Terrific signing for Falkirk. So he might not make it into Chelsea's first team now, but trust me, Billy Gilmore is a name that we will hear more and more about, and I think a future Scotland international for as much as a decade.
Well, my thanks to Darryl Broadfoot tonight for joining me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. That's it for tonight's show. The search will continue tomorrow night, where I will be joined by Hugh Keevans. A score of 6 is required to get on the leaderboard. If you think you can do that, head to ClydeOne.com to register, and you could be on the show with a chance to win the money. Not bad at all. So we've gone through a lot today. Rangers, Celtic, Billy Gilmore. We've touched on Steve Clarke. Lots to go through, and I'm sure there'll be plenty more to talk about tomorrow. Don't go anywhere. Ryan Borthwick is up next.
The Clyde One Super Scoreboard £5,000 Fan with Ladbrokes.com. It's not over till it's over. So bet and play now. Please gamble responsibly.